So this is Center Update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a bit about what happens behind the scenes that's not always apparent on Sundays. Last weekend, we had a community member orientation, and we had 10 people come and learn about community membership. And so today, we've honored those who've submitted their application, and they say yes to three things. When you join the church as a community member, you say yes to deepening your own spiritual practice through participating in spirit groups or some other spiritual development program here at Unity Spiritual Center. You say yes to some form of meaningful service. Of course, you get that in spirit groups as well, so two for one right there. And then we ask you to say yes to some designated meaningful minimum member contribution. So that's a I have to be able to say that, or they don't do it. So these people have said yes to all three of those things. And today, this morning, we honored a couple of folks. And today is Becky McFarland here today. Come forth. So we're modeling the excruciating, come up here, the excruciating experience of coming forth and being officially recognized as a community member of Unity Spiritual Center. So we have for you today a certificate of community membership suitable for framing that's signed by your ministers. And I'm going to ask Jane to lead us in a blessing for you. But first of all, first you get the classic, well-desired, often overlooked minister hugs.
And as Gary referred to them at the first service, that was a paradox hug.
That's right. It's a paradox hug.
We're both dark. Anyway.
Paradox.
It's Friday. Yes. Come on. And on that note, we would like to bless you, and I'll invite everyone to join me in this blessing that we love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the spirit that you are. So let's say that together. Becky,
we
love you, we bless you, we appreciate you, and we behold the spirit that you are. Welcome to membership at Unity Spiritual Center.
So if you missed coming to our community membership orientation, we'll have those every other month, typically. And so next go-round, we'll let you know, and you can come and have your experience as well. I want to give you a Mind Movie update. So how many of you have seen my Mind Movie since I've shown it? Okay, many of you. If you haven't seen my Mind Movie, we're doing a community-wide project of moving towards the experience of everyone who wants one to have their own Mind Movie. The Mind Movie is a visualization tool. And if you haven't seen mine, you can go onto my Facebook page, Gary Simmons, and you can friend me if you can't get you access, and I'll give you access, and you'll watch my Mind Movie, and you'll see what we're looking at. We're looking at creating a visualization tool, because the principle is that until you manifest a greater good in your life, it's inappropriate for us as a ministry to ask that you support us in a more significant way until you manifest that greater significant first in your own life. And then once we have that experience, we're going to use a Mind Movie tool to create a movie for our Unity Spiritual Center, because we have many upgrades and updates that are needed. And so rather than ask that you support that before you've had your experience of manifesting greater good in your life, we're all going to be in this experience to create our own movies for those of you who want one. In addition to that, we have invited those who have computer skills, which for some of us, we're not in that category. So there are those who actually love to work with computers and create things, and they're not bothered by computers locking up or crashing and losing all of your data. If that is you, if you are one of these people that are okay with those kinds of mishaps, then we want you on our production team, because you have what it takes. And so we already have raised close to $2,700 for funding our production team. So Jane and I are going to be traveling here in a couple weeks for our vacation, the first time we've been really on vacation together since we've been here, for 19 months already. And so we're going to be learning from Dr. Joe Dispenza how to use the mind movie visualization tool in the context of a meditation process that is going to help us align with the science behind why this tool works in such a profound way. So we're excited about that. And then we'll roll out all the dates where we'll have a production team meeting for those of you who are interested in serving on that team. It'll be an opportunity for you to ask questions and really decide if that's something that you're wanting to do. And then we're going to have a workshop where we invite every one of you who wants a movie made. We want to give you information so you come equipped to the process of having your movie made, prepared, having all the elements already gathered together because you know what's needed in order for that to be effective process. So that be on the lookout for that. If you're interested in serving on the production team, please let Terry know in the office bookstore or myself, and you'll have to write it down because if you just tell me you're interested, I'll forget, bless you. Because that's just the way I forget. All right, so with that said, we'll get ready for the rest of our worship experience, and we got the choir today. That's so great. So we're going to have meditation first.
So I invite you to join me in meditation as we just get still for a moment. We begin to follow our breath, letting it anchor us in this moment. I'm quiet, I'm calm, I'm at ease. Let those words penetrate your heart. And as we affirm them together, we create an energy field of harmony, of peace. And we allow our breath to slow down . We relax a little more into our seats as we set aside all of the activity of the morning. We sink our awareness deep, deep within our bodies. So feel your feet on the floor. Feel your legs. Feel the trunk of your body. Your shoulders. Your arms and your hands. Move your awareness to your neck, your head, your face. And if you find a place of tension in your body, just release it. As you sink your awareness deep, deep within, really inhabit the moment. And imagine breathing right into your heart space. As you bring into your mind's eye someone or something that you deeply appreciate, and allow that feeling to be activated. We don't want to just think about it. We want to feel it. Feel appreciation. Feel it bubble up from within your heart. Feel it warm your heart. And radiate beyond your heart, filling your body. Imagine every cell is alive, invigorated, on fire, with this high vibration of appreciation. We let it expand even more beyond the body as we create together this energetic field of coherence. We fill this sanctuary with calm, ease, peace. Blessed Spirit, we give thanks for your presence here, now, always. That as we turn within and become aware of the Spirit of God, we know that that Spirit is with us always. And we rest in this knowing, in the silence. God is our source of all healing, of abundance, of joy. From within our own hearts, we feel that fountain of joy expressed, and we know that there is only one presence and one power, and that we are each an expression of the one. And so it is. Amen.
All right, well, this is another installment in the Making Your Mind Matter series, where I'm helping us understand the importance of bringing our attention and awareness to whatever we're having as our life experience, and being able to be present to whatever is going on in a way that unleashes our sense of being more than enough unto our own life. So the challenge is that doesn't happen. The challenge is that we have a difficult life situation, and it brings out our not enoughness. Anybody have that experience before? Okay, so that's what we're working on in these series of talks, is looking at how we inadvertently, through the way in which we interact with whatever we're having in our life, either translate it as something that looks and feels against us, and therefore we have to have things be a certain way in order for us to feel okay, or we're otherwise making what we have insufficient or not up to giving us the sense that we're okay. So the tendency is that we're so committed, we're so all in with respect to how our life looks and feels, that what we're having as our life experience often defines us, often tells us if we're okay or not, as opposed to that's what we bring to what we have, our more than enoughness. So we have to sort all that stuff out, because that's keeping our good from landing in our lives, you see, right? Okay, just checking. So this is all about you today. It's your time. 2 weeks ago, when it was my turn to talk, it was my time. That was the name of the music of my mind movie. And I mentioned that for the last 66 years of my life, my adult life, 66 years, it seems, at least up until the first of the year, Much of my effort in my life has been trying to reconcile how it is that I'm having my life be against me when I'm such a wonderful person. And given my wonderfulness, you would think that my world would have greater joy in it. I'm just softening you up first, Daryl. So what has happened in the last several months since I've had my cancer? You know, I had someone in the last service. I mentioned that I've always felt I was concerned about you having your cancer and going through all the things that you did. But I'm so glad you did. You went through it all, and I got to tell you, I'd never ever have the thought that having cancer was against me. I mean, it has transformed my life. It has allowed me to be here in this moment, giving you, sharing with you what's happening for me, because what has happened out of that experience and a lot of other experiences is that I'm now at a place now where I can describe the place I'm in with respect to being more than enough unto my life, and I can tell you how I got here, and I can teach you how to get here too. And I hadn't had that before. Now I do. And so there's this part of me that says you have to have what I have. I want everybody to have this that I have. And that is the sense that right now everything that's happening in my life is contributing to my sense of more than enough. And when you are able to kind of flip your world to where before everything that was happening in your life kind of mirrored your inadequacy or your unworthiness, your sense you're not good enough, all those things that we find as being a part of the discomfort inherent in almost anything that we have, once you realize that that's sort of being who you are not unto whatever you're having, and you get connected to just a taste of what it feels like to come from your more than enoughness, you want that experience to happen for everybody. And just the fact that I want that for you all is touching a place in me that is brand new, in the sense that it comes from my more than enoughness that I want every one of you to have what I'm having right now. Not so much in terms of what I'm having as the things that I've drawn into my life, which those things are significant also, but the state of being that is what I am wanting you to have is what I'm hoping to describe for you, so that you can want that as well. So I'm going to show you a movie next, and it's a commercial, a popular commercial, but it gives us a sense of what we have to deal with if we're to really come into ownership of our own sense of being more than enough unto our life. Okay, and so let's see what you think. So I'll step out of the way, dimming the lights. Here we go. Here we go.
What's better, bigger or smaller?
Bigger!
So which would you rather have, a big treehouse or a small treehouse?
If it's big enough, you can have a disco.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you not want a smaller treehouse?
Because it wouldn't be able to fit a flat-screen TV, and then the TV would be about this big, and you would have to hold the wire. In the position you would hold the wire, you wouldn't be able to see the TV.
That's a pain in the buns.
Yep.
It's not complicated. Bigger is better.
Have you seen that commercial before? But it is interesting because it leverages what's out there in the world right now, and that is the sense that bigger is better, more is better. What you have right now is not as good as what you can draw into your life. So the conditioning that we're all dealing with that has drawn us into this hypersensitivity with respect to how our life looks and feels is conditioning us to believe that our well-being and our discomfort is happening out there. So if we want to feel good about things, then we have to have our life be a certain way. If we want to know our worth, we have to draw into our life the evidence that gives us that sense that, you know, I'm worth it. I make a difference. And I don't know about you, but I mean, it's a crazy world right now. And it's important for us to understand that craziness, as we look out at politics, or look at it, what's going on in the world, climate change, the challenge for people to be healthy, all the things that are happening are symptomatic of the sense of not enough that is sort of running humanity right now. And as we look at our own life, when we're dealing with not enough, we're trained to resolve that not enough by getting something to happen outside of ourselves. And to the degree that we succeed in doing that is the degree that we remain embedded in the belief that my well-being happens because of something that changes out there. And we have to flip that. And part of our work in this effort of knowing our more than enoughness is something that creates something that can benefit the world. All right. We'll talk about the proper use of cell phone technology in our work. So many of us are familiar, especially when we're familiar with the spiritual journey, that our effort is to recognize that there is an essential goodness that we are, who we've come here to be. We're created in the image and likeness of God, and so our essence is divine. We're spiritual. And so we are to be with whatever we're having as if we're unto it the Christ of God. Okay, so that's important for us to understand. We want to use kind of a religious context. Our work is to be with whatever we're having as if we're the one unto it to make the difference. Now, in order for us to do that, we have to come from our more than enoughness. It won't happen if we're coming from some other place within ourselves. So consequently, if we get in touch with the truth of who we are, we are being with what we have, and we use it as if it's our abundance. So we could say that this be, do, have principle, this kind of way of understanding, here's the truth of me, and the truth of me expresses itself with what I'm having by accomplishing a greater purpose with what I have. In other words, we're here to use whatever we're having as our experience. So if you're having an illness, you're to use that illness to manifest your more than enoughness. If you have a relationship conflict, you're to use that conflict to know your worth. No matter what it is that you're having, our more than enoughness wants to use it to demonstrate the truth of who we are. And yet, because we haven't been trained that way, our conditioning is to resolve our discomfort by having something else instead of what we're having. We abandon the very portal that God has placed in our midst to activate our more than enoughness. We push it away. We have to not do that. So part of the challenge is that we let what we have define who we are. In other words, what I'm having right now informs me as whether or not I'm okay or not. Because if what I'm having really sucks, then it sucks to be me. We see how that works. And so we experience a good measure of self-inflicted discomfort because we translate what we're having into something that defines us or limits us or eclipses us. And that means we have given our power away outside of ourself. Oh, that's nice and soft. So we have to recognize that whenever we're having something and it has us, so this is important, as far as God's concerned, you can have whatever you want. There's nothing that you cannot desire that cannot be used as a part of fulfilling your purpose and passion. You can have anything that you want. It's just that if what you have has you, it's not going to work to have anything you want. If you can make what you have not enough, it doesn't do you any good to try to draw into your life greater good, because the part of you that makes it insufficient is still at work. So we have to address that as a part of whatever spiritual tool we use to manifest a greater good. So if we're going to use a mind movie, it's not making a mind movie so we can have a better life, but it's to experience something right now in the moment that gets us connected up to our own sense of more than enoughness so that we begin to translate everything that we're having as a part of our abundance. That's the shift that we have to make. But just knowing that principle, which we can all agree that that makes perfect sense, it's the being, the doing of that, that is where the effort is. We have to recondition our body, mind, to live in a different state of being where that new state of being is coming from and unleashing our more than enoughness unto whatever we're having in our life. And that's what enables us to then begin to collapse the wave. Remember, we talked about the observer effect and the context of our observation collapses the field of infinite possibilities, and what gets created lives out of the context of our observation. So if we're witnessing our life from our sense of not enough, we collapse that field of infinite possibilities into inadequacy, into limitation, into lack. It's not like there's limits out there, it's just that that's the way we've trained our attention awareness to operate. So we have to fix that. And because we have, as a part of our conditioned mind, this sense of not enough, and because much of what runs us is unconscious, 95% of what recreates our current personal reality is living in our unconsciousness. The 5% that is conscious in us, while it may have the best intentions, can't override that internal not enough unconscious belief unless we bring it forth and have a practice that creates a cognitive dissonance with respect to what is not the truth of us. So in other words, we have to live in the experience, the felt sense of our more than enoughness of sufficient duration and amplitude to work against the unconscious conditioning that drives our needing to have things be a certain way. So this is not necessarily without effort or without understanding the process. And so as I have looked in my process of getting to a place where I'm really tired of waiting for something to happen. I mean, are you tired of waiting for your greater good to take place in your life? I mean, what are you waiting for? And so as we look at this question, we may be waiting for a greater demonstration of abundance to know that we're abundant. We may be waiting for the right relationship to know that we're lovable. We may be waiting for some kind of independence to know that we're free. We may be waiting for something. And so unless we understand that we're going to replicate this waiting for something to happen for the rest of our lives until we are on our deathbed, so to speak. Glad that no more people are in the front row, so I don't have to ever sit in the front row of, I sat in the front row of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and I needed to have all kinds of napkins and towels to keep myself from getting wet from spitting. Anyway, I just saw myself just do something. Sorry, I can't help it. I'm in the moment. So I want you to turn to someone close to you and just share one thing that you're waiting for this one thing to happen before you can feel your enoughness. What is that one thing? Go, share with somebody real quick. Come on back. Come on back. All right, so is there something that you're waiting for? Just shout it out. What are you waiting for? Oh, your teenager to behave. Yes. Oh, it's teenagers. All right, what else are you waiting for?
For my adult daughter to behave.
Yeah, for your adult daughter to behave. What else are you waiting for? I'm sorry, say again?
The election be over.
The election be over. Yeah. All right, so what if you have to know your more than enoughness before those things can happen? I mean, obviously, the election's going to be over, but we still have to live with the end results of this. So we better make it to our more than enoughness so whoever is in that role is going to somehow be influenced by this. But as we may be waiting for enlightenment, who knows? But the point is that all of us have a tendency in our normal everyday life, as opposed to when we come here on Sunday mornings, we know the truth. But then when we walk outside, you know, our normal life takes over. And in our normal life, it seems as if we're waiting for something to happen. We're looking for something to happen. And so I'm asking you, if this is not your time, when will it be? Are you tired of waiting for something to happen? And so if you know in your heart of hearts that this is your time, and if you have any sense that what I'm experiencing is real for me, and you want to have more experience with respect to what is arising from within, our efforts to try to help us experience as a unity community, probably the first ones on the planet, knowing our more than enoughness, just imagine what that could create in not only within our spiritual community, but the folks that become a part of this journey with us, as well as the community in which we live. Something is going to happen in the outer, but it won't happen by us trying to look for something to happen. We have to be the change first, and then we'll witness it in the outer. So we all took, there's a picture of, I Googled the fall, Adam and Eve, and this is a picture that I resonated with. The apple, the famous apple, you know. As you know the story, Adam and Eve fell from the grace because they partook of the apple, or the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. So you know what that tree is symbolic of? It's the tree of the knowledge of your insufficiency. So we partook, in other words, the fall represents metaphysically our taking on the belief that we're not enough by being born into this world. In other words, all of us born into this world take on a measure of not enough. And that not enough gets activated in the moment that we first fail to please or to live up to someone else's expectation, the expectation of which held over us a sense of whether or not we're okay, a sense of whether or not we measure up. So when I discovered I had the capacity to disappoint my parents, that disappointment gave me access to my innate insufficiency, my innate not enough. Can you see how in your own personal life that you acquired something because the little boy or little girl in you wasn't able to live up to whatever was the expectation or the need in the moment? And it wasn't as if there was somebody out there telling us that we blew it, that we made a mistake, but we took on that ourselves. And so when we look out at the world and we see what's going on, we can begin to see the evidence of how not enough has created what we're now experiencing in our life. I mean, think of the 1%. I mean, think of the people who have so much money and they still want more. What's up with that? That's not enough at work. I mean, just look at what's going on. You can see not enough at work. The whole idea that there's a profit motive associated with things like healthcare and climate change and feeding the poor and the hungry. To have a world where there's haves and have-nots is living outside of the integrity of our more than enoughness, because we got to know at some fundamental level that we have the capacity for every man, woman, and child on this planet to live in peace and dignity and respect and be called to a life that makes a difference. Every person on this planet has that potential, but because of not enough, we are creating a karma that we have to undo. And the way we undo it is by knowing our own more than enoughness, you see. So, it's your time. And so what that means is that if you are sensing that now is your time, that you've spent all the years that you needed to be spending in chasing after something that ultimately has to land in, if it's to be sustainable and to be important and aligned with your purpose and passion, it has to land in you in the context of your more than enoughness. Because otherwise, it's just going to be the same old, more of the same. And so if we can develop a tool, and that tool can be not just a high-tech treasure map, but rather a way in which we could shift into our more than enoughness by virtue of how we use this tool as a tool for transformation, not a tool just to give us something that we think is going to resolve some internal discomfort. If we can align that practice with brain science and with how manifestation works, what we can understand is that we create a visual representation of what our more than enoughness can demonstrate if we're living from that place. So your mind movie becomes your fantasy of what happens in your life when you live your life from your sense of more than enoughness. And so it's less about creating things that you want to have happen in your life, more about having the representation, the images that evoke that elevated sense that who you are is more than enough now. And then to be able to recognize that if I am going to sustain this greater good in my life, I have to come from and live from that state of my own more than enoughness if it's to happen. Because the rule is that you can have anything you want in your life, except that you can't have anything that will have you. And so the only way to be in your relationship to life and know that you're able to enjoy it and experience it is if you can give it away, if you can release it, if you can allow it to be an instrument of your way of using what you have in order to bless the world in which you live. Because when you find something that you realize is so important and so essential to your well-being, you want everybody to have it, don't you? We can't help ourselves. And so when we touch that part of us, we unleash ourselves into this expression of who and what we've come here to be. But it doesn't happen just because we want to. We have to engage a practice. And so for those of you who've seen my mind movie, you know, you see that I have some bold things that I'm wanting to have as a mirror of my own more than enoughness. Like one of them is, you know, I have a slide that says I earn $10,000 a week. And I got to tell you, for me to be able to have that slide in my movie, I had to get to a place where I know that that was my worth. And so it wasn't like I was wishing for something to happen. No, that slide gives me a sense of who I am and what my worth and value is unto my life. And so it's not like I'm looking for $10,000 a week as evidence of my worth. No, I'm using that image to know my worth now, regardless of what the money issue is. And so someone once said who saw my movie said, well, what happens if you don't get the $10,000? You don't get the retirement home. You don't get the camper and the trailer. You don't reconcile with your daughter. You don't have those things that you want. And I have to say, that's not the purpose of the movie, to get those things. The purpose of the movie is to experience what I experience now in this moment. Because that's the magnet. And because that gives me a way of being with whatever I'm having in this moment as my abundance. And so I hasten the experience of manifesting that greater good that I've imaged into my life by being with what I'm having right now as my abundance, as opposed to a mirror unto my not enough. And so that requires of me to be in that experience. Well, what does my more than enoughness feel like? And all you have to do is just imagine what would I find? What treasure would I find that I would want to unleash and give everybody that I knew, especially those I love, and even everybody else? And you get in touch with a felt sense you're not enough. Feels like freedom. It feels like joy. It feels like you're empowered. You can make a difference. There's nothing that's against you. To have that feeling and to hold that feeling no matter what's happening, that's the goal of the mind movie. And that's what we want to create together. So I'm going to wrap this thing up. This is a slide I shared 19 months ago. 19 months ago, Jane and I were in the process of moving here from Kansas City area, Unity Village. And I was making my pre-trip, dragging my boat. Not my boat. See, I'm already starting to become like you. I was dragging my airplane with me, my fuselage, and then I was here in advance of our taking the job, which is we were starting on Easter Sunday in the first part of April. And so I was here, and I wanted to talk to my congregation. And so I did this talk on enough with not enough. And we're still dealing with not enough, so it didn't take. I mean, I'm talking about me, not you. The point is that I recognize that if we were to evolve this church, if Jane and I and your leadership and anyone who is a part of really knowing that Unity Spiritual Center has a destiny to fulfill, if that is our work as a Unity community, we have to reconcile who we are with our experience of not enough. And at that time, I was, while involved in understanding the principle of our more than enoughness, I was still unable to articulate how we actually create that for ourselves. And so in my experience now with having gone through my cancer recovery and all the things that have happened as a way of managing that, as well as my own experience of arriving at this place of my own more than enoughness, you know, there's something that's happening that we need to leverage. We need to ride this wave. There's momentum building, and so that's what our effort is to sustain that momentum. In the context of this scripture, you know, for whoever has more will be given even more than enough. So what that means is not what you have more is going to be given so much as if. For whoever has the ability to translate what you're having as your experience as your abundance, more shall be given. But if you can't translate what you're having as your abundance, then even that which you have shall be taken away. Can you see how this principle is the truth? So we have to move towards really the expression of our more than enoughness, and it's something that can happen. It doesn't require any depth of spiritual understanding. You just have to do a practice. And so we'll be rolling out that practice as we go. Next Sunday, Jane is going to build upon this talk and really get clearer about what our purpose and passion is, because when we create the visual representation of the fulfillment of that purpose and passion, it carries with it that felt sense of what more than enough feels like. And we get to reinforce that. So we'll have a lot more to say about that. My more than enoughness doesn't feel like I have to talk for 45 minutes in order to get the point across. God bless you all. Thank you.